My name is Lauren, and I came to GriefShare in the fall session of 2014 for my father who had passed away on December 7th of 2013. Honestly, I had a very false sense of who God was at the time. I was still working under the impression that God was this powerful, distant creator in the sky, someone who my prayers to looked a lot like just begging. I was seeking his healing hand, all the while still fearful of my past's power over me. I had only been sober for a few months at that time, and I was very much still trying to figure out the whole God thing. In GriefShare, I learned that God the Father wasn't just some way of describing God so that people could visualize him better. I learned that I could have a real back and forth relationship with God, my Heavenly Father. So much of my faith foundation was established in my time in GriefShare. I served here for a couple of years, and then sadly, I fell back into some old sin patterns and began pulling away and isolating in order to protect my sin. My testimony about my father is online on the Watermark website if you're interested in listening to that. I gave it before I fully surrendered to my sin. This testimony is supposed to be about how about the most recent loss that brought me back here this semester. So let me give you a little back information about my family. I am the oldest of two. My parents got divorced when Jonathan, my little brother, and I were very young. They used us as pawns in the divorce for over a decade. When my mom moved us to Florida, we were latchkey kids. My mom did the best she could, but her drinking started to become out of control. I became the significant other and the caregiver, and my brother became the baby I resented caring for. After a couple of years in that hell, we moved into a different kind of hell. We moved back to Texas with my dad and my stepmom, and we were immediately the black sheeps. I started rebelling with drugs and boys, and my brother started rebelling with theft. He wasn't a bad kid. He was just crying out for attention. Honestly, we both were. We had never known a stable home. Jonathan needed a counselor and a strong male role model in his life, but by the time he started receiving attention and love from our aunt and uncle, it was too late. They truly loved him, though, and supported him. There were several times they bailed him out of jail and opened their home to him. I had jumped ship as soon as I was old enough to move out and drop out. Jonathan had been raised in the church. Jonathan and I had been raised in the church, but not in the sense that we had any idea who Christ was or what him dying for us meant. We weren't taught to read the Bible, nor were we raised by people modeling Christ's love. The closest thing we had resembling anything to normalcy was my Aunt Jan and my Uncle Alan. They were always happy to see us, and we felt loved by them. After several more years of going on like this, me and my sin and Jonathan getting more and more lost, I had basically stopped speaking to him. He had lived with me for a time and had stolen money from me. We were all pretty sure at this point he was using drugs and was hanging out with more and more lost people. After our dad died, he started trying to reconnect, but I wasn't having it. I thought I was protecting my young family. As a single mom myself now, I didn't want my mom or my brother around us. My brother wrecked his motorcycle on April 29th of this year. He died on impact. He suffered greatly here on earth. I pray to God that he is now in heaven with both our Heavenly Father and my earthly father. We had not made amends. I had not asked for forgiveness. I had not released my resentment or my anger. And instantly Satan started manipulating my sadness into guilt and shame. I turned to truth to refute these lies. I know very well that guilt and shame are not of the Lord, and I was able to keep it at bay for months. 2 weeks ago, though, in session 7, we talked about guilt and anger, and I realized I had not even begun to process the death of my brother. I was stuck in an emotionless void because I was stuck in avoidance. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I sat here that week and I prayed to Christ, our Lord, please forgive me. Jonathan can't release me and forgive me, Lord, but you can. I know you already have. You died for my sins, and my broken relationship with my brother is no exception to that. I silently sobbed the rest of the film. My actions had not been pointing to the truth that I knew. It was time to rip the Band-Aid off, and I started to give God those hurts. I reached out to my mentor, who I meet with on Mondays after class, and I sat there and I talked about my brother. We opened up every wound that had ever been created by my brother or by me to my brother. She walked me through hard false guilt and even more hard true guilt. Grief causes us to face our brokenness. Grief demands an audience one way or another. And yet, when done with Christ and other believers, God offers the healing we are desperately calling out for. James 5:16, therefore confess to one another and pray for each other so that you might be healed. Confession to God brings forgiveness, but confession to others brings healing. I was responding to my brother while he was here on earth with an absence of mercy. God reminded me that without his holy mercy, I would be condemned to death, but that I have a new life in Christ because of his son's sacrifice. I had been restored and redeemed. I had been offered forgiveness and mercy despite the way I treated my brother. The next day, I found out that my last living grandparent had gone to be with the Lord. She was 100 years old and had been old enough to die basically my entire life. On the way to the funeral last Saturday, I found out that my Aunt Jan, the one I mentioned earlier, had also passed away. She was sick and I didn't even know. She had been in the hospital for several months and they didn't tell me. I had pulled myself so far away from my mother and brother that I had pulled myself away from my entire family. I thought that I was protecting myself, but really I was just choosing avoidance again. In last week's lesson, we read Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. I am in a weird season right now. I have suffered 5 losses this year. My brother, my parents' best friend growing up, sort of a mom figure to me early on. My friend Jeff from an overdose, and as a recovering addict alcoholic, that one hurt. My old CG leader's son, who is the same age as my son. And my grandma, who some of my most favorite memories were in her house growing up. And recently, my aunt. I've had a funeral the last 2 Saturdays and have been around some painful old wounds, also known as my family. I'm leaving early today to go to San Antonio to bury my boyfriend's grandfather. The world would tell me it's okay to be depressed and miserable. The world says, stay down. This hurt is too big. Or on the flip side, it would tell me that stuffing the pain and going into isolation is a good choice. But God wants more for his daughter than that. But God says, in a world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. John 16:3. Genesis 50:20. The world means it all for evil, but God meant it for good, so that we may be kept alive. Sisters, I know hurting and I know pain, and I've seen hardship from poverty to abuse and everything in between. And yet through it all, I can truly say I count it all joy. We are called to walk with Christ through the suffering and through the loss. We follow a Savior who heals our sins, our wounds, our iniquities, our sadness, and our brokenness. He is near to the brokenhearted, Psalm 34:18. He wants to heal you. Lean on him and his word. Let his ways be higher than yours and receive his peace that passes all understanding. Force gratitude. Capture your thoughts and die to self. Find the healing he wants you to have. We are not capable of understanding death's whys. We will never fully know God's plan, but knowing God's plan is not part of the plan. He has revealed to you what he wants you to know to have peace during this time, and quite frankly, all other times moving forward. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed to us belong to us and to our children forever. God has revealed to us in this his good and merciful character. God has not taken anything from me that was not his first, but he has reminded me of my constant need for him. And for that, I am truly grateful. I will leave you with these verses and this passage of truth that I am resting in during this time. Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and just and pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think of these things. What you have learned and you have received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Living this way truly does take work and pack and practice and strength that honestly I do not have. But God is our strength and our refuge. And I pray that you feel the same way. Thank you.